Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, 88.9 FM, the voice of the townships. And today we're talking with Paul, and we'll be talking about Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
I guess we'll start with, tell us a little bit about your journey to AA.
This interview has already said that this is for Alcoholics Anonymous, and
mm-hmm.
I am an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's been a journey, I guess. I started drinking, I suppose, as any young kid does, like maybe when they're a teenager, and everything was pretty good as far as, the first times I was drinking, it was kind of a good thing. We had a lot of good times when I was drinking, but it always seemed that I always drank a little too much, a little more than everybody else. And
okay.
That didn't bother me at the time, but over the years, I became dependent upon alcohol. And even if you weren't celebrating a birthday or you always found an excuse to have a drink, you know.
Okay.
And little bit by little bit, they talk about passing an invisible line, you crossing an invisible line. And when I crossed it, I don't know when because it was invisible. But
mm-hmm.
in my later years, especially after my kids had gone off to college, I just started drinking more and more, and eventually, in the last years of my abuse of alcohol, I found that I could not stop, even though I wanted to stop.
Okay.
And so that became like a daily thing, and then several times I tried to stop on my own, and I just found I couldn't do it, and then you. You start going, you know, you're getting into a very bad space where it's, you know, you're ruining your life, but you don't seem to be able to do anything about it.
Okay, so you felt out of control then?
It was out of control,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you would drink even though sometimes you didn't really have anything to celebrate or you know, it just, it became a daily habit, you know, and something that... that had a hold of you rather than you having a hold of it.
Physically dependent on the alcohol also, as well
yes.
as mentally? Okay.
Yes. It may be mentally or physically, but the upshot of it is that you kind of pretty well have to drink in
mm-hmm.
order to keep your equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
And even, as I say, even though you have nothing to celebrate or nothing to be sad about, you just drink, you know, and...
Mm-hmm.
Always to excess in the last years, and
okay, excess in the last few years, like the first year before you joined AA, or several years before.
Several years before I joined
okay.
AA. Let's say in the 5 years before I joined AA,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It became much worse. Perhaps because my kids had gone off to college by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I felt like, you know, I was free to do as I wanted, but you know, it destroyed a lot of things in my life. You know, a lot of things were going down the tube,
okay.
including my marriage. And
mm-hmm. What about your job? Did that suffer?
Well,
also?
My job, I was self-employed. I was doing renovations.
Okay.
And I'm sure that suffered, but.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to take a day off, I could always take a day off, and
nobody
could say anything pretty well. And I'm sure I could have been a much better carpenter if in those days if I had not been drinking. But
mm-hmm.
in general, I was one of the lucky ones that didn't lose their job.
Okay.
Over that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what finally made you say, okay, I need help, or was there a certain specific event that happened? Or,
well, in my case, it was my wife had enough of it, and she kicked me out, and
okay.
Said that was the end. in the year before that happened, I knew that I was an alcoholic, and that I wasn't really... I knew of AA, but I didn't really know what it was. You know, I've heard people talk about AA, but I didn't really know what it was. I'd never been to a meeting or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And but that decided me that you know, I'd gone far enough down the slope to you know, finally do something about it. And you know, and it turned out to be a good thing. But
okay,
you know, that time is full of turmoil, of course, when
mm-hmm.
everything's not going as the way you want it to go. But
big change in your life. Mm-hmm.
Big change in my life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was the deciding factor when your marriage broke up.
Yes.
Okay.
In my case, but in it's different for everybody. You
right.
know, everyone
mm-hmm.
everyone in the program has a different trigger that that did that. And
exactly.
But a lot of it is based on despair and a very dark time in your life when you know you're dependent on this thing of alcohol and you cannot do anything about it. You know, you really mm-hmm. you don't seem to be able to do anything about it. You don't know what to do about it.
Exactly. So how did you get help?
Well, I at that point I started to go to AA meetings
mm-hmm.
and admitted my problem to those people, and they were very, very helpful. And I guess during that first meeting, I would a little light came on whereas I thought there was no way of that I could ever stop this drinking,
mm-hmm.
this destructive drinking, because I had tried to stop many times on my own and was never successful. You know, there's only so many New Year's resolutions you can make, but I was always swearing off forever, and the program is usually based on one day at a time, to
mm-hmm.
especially when you're having the worst difficulties at the beginning.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that first meeting, just the way the people were, it made me think, well, they've been around the block, you know,
mm-hmm.
there was no fooling them either, you know, like, they knew where I was coming from, and, helped me through advice and laying out the program in of AA in front of me. Little bit by little bit, you know, things got started to get better.
Okay, so
but I was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just wanted to know when you realized you needed help and you wanted to go to AA. Did you just phone AA up, or did you know somebody or that could help you?
Well, I knew of somebody that had gone into the program a little bit ahead of me,
okay.
and I thought there was no way that they could get sober, and they did,
mm-hmm.
and. This is about 6 months before me, and yes, I had I phoned the AA number, and then they gave me a list of the meetings. This is before internet, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a list of meetings, and I found the ones that were near me and started to go to those. So I was going.
Okay.
At the beginning, I was going to like a meeting every day.
Every day, that's okay.
Every day.
Wow, every day. So that must have been really hard for you. Did you feel like backing out or anything before that first meeting? I can just imagine that must have been very stressful for you.
Well, it's very hard to, some people are like me, they're a little bit, their egos have taken over and they say, I can do it on my own and don't tell me what to do, and
mm-hmm.
they don't want... We're that kind of people, I think, alcoholics in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very hard to admit that you needed help. That was probably the hardest part. And to ask somebody like to push the door open for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
As it turns out, it wasn't an issue at all. Nobody was going to be judging me. Nobody was pointing fingers or anything. They had all gone through the same thing, so we all had the same problem, so there was definitely no I wasn't made to feel any shame whatsoever. Exactly the opposite when from that first meeting right off the bat, you know.
That's wonderful, because I would imagine you really felt as if you were being judged, because it must have felt like the world was judging you at the time.
Exactly, yeah, because I mean, a lot of people knew that I was drinking to excess, and people were saying, you know, Paul, don't you think you have a problem with alcohol, or
mm-hmm.
don't you think you have a, you know, that was a shocker because, you know, I didn't think anybody was paying attention, but of course people always pay attention. And, you know, you're touching everybody's life that I touched, would have consequences of it, you know? And, so they, you know, they, were telling me, you know, yeah, I think you have a problem with alcohol. And, unless you admit it and do something about it, then you just stay in the same stew, you know, like and don't do anything about it.
Okay,
easier way.
So the first step for somebody who does have a problem is to realize they have a problem and then get in touch with AA and attend the meeting. And after that, you feel like you're not alone, I guess, and you have that support team.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. If the first step is like you admit that you have a problem with alcohol and that your life has become unmanageable,
mm-hmm.
and if that's not the case, then you know there's no use going to AA. If you don't think you have a problem, you know, it's like if you have a if your car is broken and you go to a garage, and if you don't think it's broken, you don't go to the garage. And you know, you have to have the sense that you need help and that you know things are getting a little out of control, and something has to be done.
Okay, exactly. And how many? How long ago, if you don't mind me asking, did you attend your first meeting?
19 years ago.
19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you still go to the meetings? You still need the support?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
They say in order to stay sober, you have to give it away. It's working with other alcoholics that need your help that seems to keep the program alive for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way it works. I mean, the change in my life is so great that you can never repay, really. I mean, if I had kept going down that same path, I don't think I would be here. And this is because these people took their time and effort and their love to bring me back to a place where I am now, and you know, a little more cheerful than I was 19 years ago. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly. So it's a great sense of satisfaction. Now you're helping other people who have recently come into the program or have been in the program a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Like we have a, like it's kind of like a mentor. Like we call it our parrain in French. It's a parrain.
Mm-hmm. Like your mentor, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
And we call it a sponsor, I guess, in English.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the program is encouraged to have a sponsor. It's to help you, to lead you through the steps, to introduce you to the program. Every meeting is different, so they will tell you, well, there's this kind of meeting here, this kind of meeting there.
Okay.
And gives you, and they encourage you very much, really, to take a bath in the program. They often encourage us to do 90 meetings in 90 days so that we get a full soaking in what the program is all about.
Mm-hmm. 90 meetings in like 90 days. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's in the beginning, I guess, is it? Or?
That's in the beginning, yeah.
Okay. And what about now? Like, for instance, is it one a week or one a month?
Well, now it's about, I guess I do about two or three meetings a week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that at least this alcoholic, if I don't have the structure of AA and these principles in front of me all the time, I tend to wander, and
mm-hmm.
your thinking starts to change, and you get a little bit off the beam, and then something's not right, and then you realize, well, it's better if I get back to my meetings and get the structure that has helped me in from the beginning, get
mm-hmm.
that back into my life, you know.
Right. Okay. So there have been a few times that maybe you've wavered off the path and realized you had to get back on.
Well, yes, but luckily it didn't involve drinking.
Good.
I didn't. I haven't fallen off the wagon yet. Many people do, and some people that do that, they're very ashamed to come back. But they are so much encouraged not to be ashamed and to come back. And some people are slip many times before they really find their place in AA, and so you know, we encourage them, you know, forget about being that shame, and that's just another kind of ego problem when you're ashamed of something like that, and you know, get down to go back to the beginning and start again, and try it again, and maybe it'll work for you this time, you know.
Good. That's an important message to get out to everybody that's listening too.
Okay. Yeah.
Alcoholism, it's a huge problem in society, among all ages, I guess, too.
Yes. Yeah, we have, the youngest person I've seen in there has been around, like, 19 years old, and the oldest one that come in that I've seen has been around 70.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's older ones and younger ones that have come in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just depends on your own where you are in your life and how much you want to change, you know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You have to put in a lot, and I guess, you know, the outcome is really worth it, as you say.
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful that you're doing better. What about English people who may not have a good handle on French? Is there a support for them?
Yes, there's, in this area we have, there's one meeting in Magog, and there's another meeting in Sherbrooke,
mm-hmm.
and there's meetings in Knowlton, Sutton, Cowansville, two in Knowlton, and another one in Bromont in our particular district.
Okay.
But there's many more. My home meeting is actually in Vermont. I live fairly close to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And the English, there used to be English, a lot more English meetings in this area. There used to be one in Ayerscliff. There used to be one in Lennoxville. There used to be two in Sherbrooke, there used to be two in Magog, there used to be one in Stansted.
Okay.
And but there, most of those are closed now. There's only those two that are still open because of demographics, I suppose. There's just more French in the area than there was 30 years ago, you know?
Yes, understandable. Okay. But if you are English, you may not understand French a lot, you can go to a meeting in Vermont as long as you have your passport? Or?
Yes.
Okay, that's... Good to know. Very important to know. Okay.
Well, I'll give you the helpline number.
Mm-hmm.
It's 514 350 3444.
Okay. Good to know.
And then there's a toll free number, which is 1-888 424 2975.
Okay. Those are important
numbers. And they'll point you out to any meeting that you're looking for, and anyone that has access to the internet and knows how to get around there, then you just go on there and put in AA meetings in Sherbrooke or something like that, or there's all sorts of ways that you can get there. And people that are familiar enough with the internet, they'll be able to find exactly what they're looking for.
Okay.
They'll find explanations of what the program is and where the meetings are.
Good to know. Important information. Are there as many women as there are men alcoholics?
There seems to be, like in my my meeting in the States, I would say there's probably 30% women and the rest are men.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be, in general, there seems to be more men than women.
Okay.
But these mentors I'm talking about, these sponsors, and the people that... introduce you to the program. We always insist that men work with men and women work with women, just to get the hanky panky factor out of the way. And
exactly,
when you're coming into the program, especially, it doesn't matter if you're man or woman, but you're particularly fragile and open to suggestion because you don't know where to turn, and you're filled with a lot of there's a lot of darkness and despair there. And you're very, very vulnerable. So in order to avoid any kind of predatory behavior, then we strongly suggest that men work with men and women work with women.
Good. That's a good aspect to mention. Very important. You said it's a 12-step program?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you like to describe the steps a little bit for us? Or?
Well, let me see. Did you want me to read the steps, or?
Oh, maybe just, you know, your own version of them, or?
The first step is, they say the first step is the only one that you can take completely, which is admitted that you're that you have a problem with alcohol and that your life has become unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
And the program is kind of a spiritual program in that the same moral principles that are in many religions, and there's many atheists and agnostics, of course, in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just asked to believe in a power greater than yourself. That it could be even the meeting itself. You know, the AA as itself. As long as you don't think that you're running the show anymore.
Okay.
And that's kind of what got us into trouble in the first place. That we knew better than everything, and wouldn't look for help and whatever. And most of us have found that we couldn't do it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into there's a step where you do a complete inventory of your past life, both the good and the bad. But you're mainly trying to get to this is with always with your sponsor. You make a list of of all these things, and then you go through it with him, or with whoever you choose. It could be someone that's very close to you. It could be your priest or minister or rabbi or mullah or whatever, and or your sponsor. I did it myself, my own, with my sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all these things that have gone wrong with you in your life. You kind of get them off your chest. You have a very great feeling of lightness after that that particular experience. And then the rest of the are more or less like maintenance steps that, you know, when you're wrong in your life, promptly admit it and can continue on. Try to take a moral inventory of your day every day or periodically during the year, so that you keep things on the right side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is like to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, all these. They say in alcoholism is 15% alcohol, and the rest is like everything that probably led you into the alcoholism. All these things that you've been putting off, you gradually lose all your principles when you become alcoholic, or many of us do. And this is kind of restoring a way of living that is beneficial to you and to others, you know. And you're not just thinking of yourself all the time.
That's interesting. Very important aspect. Is there always somebody there, like once you join and you feel like you can't possibly go without a drink at like 2 o'clock in the morning? Is there always somebody there to answer a call?
Yes, and like when I first went, and when anybody goes in, like there's an announcement at the beginning of the meeting that anyone that's having problem with staying away from that first drink, people raise their hand as temporary sponsors. You have to have usually like a year and a half sobriety, continuous sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And you can volunteer to help these people, and you give them your phone number, and yes, they can phone you at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's been done many times, and
mm-hmm.
They're very much encouraged to do just that. To interrupt your sleep, don't be afraid to call any time when in the heat of the moment. You know, when
mm-hmm.
when the danger is most present.
Exactly.
And to to ask for help, or at least phone. We advise phone before you drink. If you want to drink after, go ahead and drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's at least we've done what we can to head that off, or to help you out to that particular crisis, you know.
Okay, that's wonderful. Good. Well, 19 years, my goodness, definitely, and congratulations is in order, and That's wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go, Paul?
Not really. Whatever questions you had, I think have been answered. And well, the reason AA is there is like AA is I could read you this a little bit here. AA is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem, which is alcohol, and to help others recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking.
Okay, the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking. Good. That's wonderful stuff. Definitely everything is better in a group and a fellowship supporting one another.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Definitely.
Well, we thank you very much. And again, congratulations and all the best in your future. Glad that it worked out very well for you.
Well, thank you for your interest. And we in AA, it's by attraction rather than promotion. So it's good that public information be given out through people like you that might be interested in what exactly it is. And we don't go and chase down alcoholics and say, "Come on in."
Mm-hmm.
We're not actually. AA is not against alcohol. Like we're not the teetotalers.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, we don't have to sign a pledge or anything like that. It's nothing to do with a moral condemnation of alcohol. If I could drink tomorrow, I probably would drink tomorrow. If I could drink without consequences, but I know I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so AA is not, that's what actually attracted me to the program somewhat, is that there's no moral imperative it's not saying that alcohol is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's just bad for me.
Right. Good. How do you avoid, do specific things like avoid different places and parties and that, or was it more difficult in the beginning?
It was definitely more difficult in the beginning. And yes, you would, we were advised that if you don't have some good reason to being where a lot of heavy drinking is going on, then don't go.
Mm-hmm.
or go with another member.
Okay.
Or just don't go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have something to contribute, like if it's a wedding or something like that, then you know, you may excuse yourself early if things for you are getting out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
and you're having a temptation, and then you go home, you phone your sponsor and talk it through, and then but little bit by little bit, some people in AA will never have liquor in their house. Personally, I can keep it, and it doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
My sons both drink moderately, and there's no problem. I wouldn't offer it to a person that I think has a problem with drinking, but
mm-hmm.
And I don't offer it unless it's somebody close to me.
Okay.
But you know, there's no moral imperative that our sobriety is better than somebody that does drink.
Okay.
You know, it's when you get carried away with it that it became a problem for us.
Good. I think that's very interesting and a very it's a big eye opener for our listeners too.
What the fact that it's not we don't condemn drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Or
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was very happy to see because they say there's only about 6 or 7% of people that have this phenomenon of craving once they have drunk enough and they get hooked on it, and and so there's not a lot of people, but thank God that we have what we have here and with AA, and it's been very, very good for me.
Good. No, it's excellent to know that there is an organization of AA in the townships, and it's open to people. It's a very open organization. So hopefully, if there's a lot of people out there who do have a drinking problem, they will consider AA, and hopefully you'll get some new members, and it will change their lives in a positive way.
Very good.
Good. Well, thank you very much, and again, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Maureen.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.